Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Co-Parenting Roller Coaster. As always, this is Chris. I wanted to start by saying thank you to everybody who has listened to this podcast. I'm super excited about the numbers and the countries. This podcast has actually now hit over 17 countries, which is insane to me, but amazing, and I'm super honored. So before I jump into today, I just wanted to share a couple little things. First, if you're not aware, if you haven't already gone and liked the Facebook page, I will link that in the episode description. Same thing with Instagram. Go follow the page. I give alerts when new episodes are out, and it's just a good way to keep in contact. If you want to send me an email, I'll leave that in the episode description as well. And if it's a comment, if it's a question, if you have something you'd like to hear me talk about, or if you yourself have lived this kind of life and you would like to share your story, I would love to set that up and have you come be a guest with me and just have a conversation about it. So I'm super excited about today, though, because I do have a guest. I am joined today by a very special woman. She's the dean of the ministry school that I attend. She's one of the pastors on staff at the church I'm at. She's just an amazing woman. She has lived a co-parenting blended family life. She also happens to be a life coach. And you can find her on Instagram at journey_life_and_goal_coaching. The email is journeyslifeanddestinycoach@gmail.com. I will link that in the episode description. And so here we go. Before I jump into that conversation, I'm going to share a quick word from a sponsor, and we'll be right back. I have joining me Bettina Brown, who is one of my pastors. She is the dean of the ministry school that I am in, and she has lived a co-parenting blended family life. And so I just wanted to have her on and share her story, a little bit of her lessons, triumphs, tragedies, and, you know, some things that she's experienced along the way. So welcome, Bettina.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
I'm super, super excited about this. I'm glad you are my first guest who is not my wife.
And this is my first podcast ever, so it's a first for both of us.
There we go. That's awesome.
I listen to podcasts, but it's the first time I'm actually doing or being part in one. So thank you.
And it's so something that I think for me that I've learned in doing this is that if I think of it as a podcast or if I think of it as an interview, it comes off super. It just doesn't come off well. It's more organic if we kind of approach it as a conversation, and that's really my heart behind this whole thing. So I don't want to share your story because I don't really know your full story. So if you could just give us a quick little rundown of, you know, what experiences you have, or, you know, how many kids and how old and what you went through with those different situations.
Quick, that's going to be very difficult, but I'll try my best. I was born and raised in Germany. When I was 21, I married an American soldier, a Black soldier. We fell in love, got married, and came back to the United States. I had my first son, Marcus, in 1983, so that makes him 37. That marriage lasted for about 7 years. My first husband was an alcoholic and abusive. So I left that marriage, then met my second husband, also Black. We had my second son, Jonathan, was born in 1990. So that makes him 31 almost. Wow, 31, crazy.
Yeah.
How did my kids get so old and I'm not aging?
It happens. It happens to us all.
Yeah. So my oldest son, Marcus, was 6 when I went through my divorce, and then right away connected with my second husband. And so that's really where the co-parenting started. And my experience with it was At that time, I was not a believer yet. There were like a lot of unhealed things in me, and I tried to do everything to keep my marriage together. So I allowed my husband to parent my oldest son the way he felt it was the best way, which was actually, in a way, abusive. He had this motto of children should be seen, not heard. He never grew up with a father, so he didn't know how fathering should look like. And I, on the other hand, made the mistake that once I saw the abusiveness, I stepped in and took that power away from my husband to really father my son. I allowed him to go like to a certain point, but then I stepped in and Mama Bear came out and you're not doing this, you're not doing that. So I think my oldest son got mixed signals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In co-parenting.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I think that's something that I'm learning is there's a difference in Mama Bear stepping in and being protective and Mama Bear seeing things through a different set of eyes. I know with me and Lindsay, a lot of times if she points out a shortcoming of mine, I don't necessarily take it well right away. Eventually I kind of have some time to think about it and process it. But I think there's kind of a fine line there of Mama Bear being Mama Bear and a different perspective.
No, I totally agree. And I think with me as a mom, it was both. I carried a lot of guilt for the failure of my first marriage. Plus I carried some of the memories of the abuse. So I tried to protect my son, but then I also didn't speak up. My husband and I we never talked about parenting. There was never a conversation going on about that. So I was the parent the majority of the time because my husband worked night shifts. Okay. But on the weekends when he was there, he did the disciplining and it totally looked different than this mom because I grew up never being spanked. My disciplining was minor, minor. And so there was that part of it was Mama Bear, but part of it was being triggered. When I heard abuse, I stepped in and my claws came out.
Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of it does come down to our upbringing and what we knew as discipline and what we see as discipline and what we understand as discipline. And that's actually something that when Lindsay and I first got married, when she would have to spank Ryder, she would call it a discipline. And I kind of was like, I don't know that calling that discipline, because discipline is not just physical. And for me with my daughter, her mom and I don't see eye to eye on spanking. And you know, that's one thing that it is. It's really, like you said, you didn't have the conversation. And I think it's good that you say that. And like I said, the different perspectives, we did kind of have a conversation, but it wasn't much of a conversation because my ex-wife didn't agree with spanking at all. And once we started going through our divorce, my mindset was, well, the last thing I need is my daughter going home telling her mom that I spanked her and that getting brought up in court that I'm abusing my daughter. And, you know, the time that we live in now, it's a scary, you know, well, you spanked your child and we're going to take him away. But wait a minute. That's a form of discipline. I'm not beating my child. I spanked them because they did something wrong. And I know when I was raised, when I got spanked, whatever I did to get that spank, and I didn't do it again because I did not want to get spanked. So it's kind of a, you know, we're all brought up differently. So we see things that we all have a little bit of a different perspective. And that's where I think that conversation is such an important thing to be able to have.
It is for sure. Especially when, first of all, having the conversation about the backgrounds, the upbringing. I think when you get into a relationship and when you marry someone, and you know you will be co-parenting with them, there really should be a conversation even before the marriage happens, because you need to understand the backgrounds and you need to find that common ground. So you asked me before, like, what would you do different? I think that is something I would have done differently. Really sitting down and saying, we need to come to a common ground right here. And I think when parents present a unit, like a unity, mm-hmm. Then the children will have clear direction, and children really want clear direction. They want routine. They want to know where they stand with each parent. And when there's an up and down, you know, the kids will by nature either be confused or they will use that and learn to manipulate their parents, which my oldest son got really good at.
And that's something that's really important in parenting in general, but I think almost more so in a co-parenting or in a blended family where you have multiple sets of parents and multiple households, that there's a united front. Because I know for us, we still a lot of times don't always do things the same way. And my daughter is smart. She's the latter. She plays it and she knows, well, if I don't get it here, then mom's not going to do that, or grandma's not going to discipline me. I'll just get what I want. So she knows how to play that game. And so it's really important to have that united front, that common ground. And sometimes it's compromise, you know, such as life. We don't always take. Sometimes we have to give.
I totally agree with that. And I think also letting the kids know it's not okay to play their parents out. And with me, I was thinking about an incident where I actually put myself between my husband and my son, because my husband was beating him and or hitting him or spanking him, whatever it was. See, there's my perspective. That showed up. My upbringing just raised up. But I think it created issues in my marriage, and it actually also highlighted areas that were besides parenting, but still in the marriage weren't right. And again, there was no communication. Mm-hmm. There was no partnership. So I think when you have issues with kids and you don't deal with them, it'll affect every area of your marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know for us, the same kind of thing. A lot of times if for me being my son's stepdad, I'm his dad, but I'm his stepdad. And so there's a different role, even though I've taken on the full on role of father, that there are times in my mind, if I see Lindsay not 100% support what I say, I'm kind of, my senses are a little bit heightened with that, where I'm always, I don't want to say I'm walking on eggshells when it comes to my son, but it's more, I'm more guarded and careful because I'm afraid of upsetting my wife in mistreating her son, even though, you know, I've taken on that role. It's one of those, you know, it's, I know we've talked about it where our situations are unique while not unique, where I'm not only a dad co-parenting with an ex-wife, I'm also a stepdad who's, you know, parenting a stepson as well. And just the different levels of what's okay in this situation, what's okay with this kid and what's not okay with this kid. What's my wife going to be okay with that my ex-wife is not okay with? And this like juggling act. And you know, that was just kind of something that popped into my mind. But so with your second husband, how was the parenting relationship between you and your first husband when you then had a second child with your second husband?
It was non-existent. My first husband actually got so mad at me that I did leave him, and then that I did meet someone else, that he actually, after about 3 or 4 months, cut my oldest son and me out of his life.
Wow.
Literally. So, the only contact to that family I had was through my first husband's mother, my son's grandmother. Mm-hmm. And she, even to this point, like 37 years later, still involved in my oldest son's life. And she was that bridge, but there was no contact with my first husband whatsoever.
Wow. So does he still not have any contact with your oldest?
He actually passed away a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
But even before then, and that's something my oldest son really had to walk through, was He felt abandoned by his dad. His dad, he would see his dad maybe once every 6 months to a year through his grandma. And even when he got older, his dad really wasn't there to support him, to cheer him on. And he really felt and feels that he missed out on so much with his real dad. Mm-hmm. And so that really, I think, has affected my oldest son, who is now a dad. I have two grandkids, a grandson, a granddaughter. I think it affects him because my oldest son has gone through a divorce and he is a very present dad. It's almost like he's over present because he didn't want to repeat what happened between him and his dad. He wants to be there for his son. He wants to be there for his daughter.
Yeah. That's an important, sometimes like, me and my dad didn't have the greatest relationship growing up. And as I get older and as I look back, like, he was always there. I didn't think he was there for me. And I didn't think he was around. And so that was something that I see myself repeating in ways, but I'm very conscious of. And so, trying to fight that. And I think we learn a lot from our parents, both what we want to be and what we don't want to be, and the positives and the negatives. And okay, well, I see that. And I know how that made me feel, and I don't want to make my kids feel that way.
I think that's really important. And even for us as parents to point that out to our kids, not to attack the step parent or talk negatively about the step parent, but bring out the good things. I've learned, especially with my oldest son, children are very aware of the shortcomings of their parents, whether they're the parents that they're living with or the other parent that they're not living with, they have limited contact. They're very aware of that. Mm-hmm. And I was intentional. I wasn't perfect at it, trust me, but I was intentional as much as my emotions allowed me to keep my mouth shut when it came to talking against my ex-husbands to my children, both my oldest son and then my youngest son, because my second husband and I also divorced. And so to me, I really is something that can benefit our kids, just as we as adults are learning from our parents, like you said. Mm-hmm. And you go like, I don't want to repeat that. And I think to the credit of my oldest son, he came to that realization. He was never like, oh, my dad is this amazing guy. He was very aware that his dad was not this amazing guy. But now he's taken that negative and placed it into a positive. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's too something that's really important for not only our kids, but us as parents, co-parents, grandparents, step-parents, is to realize that we're all human and we're all flawed, and there's room for growth. And it's up to us to take that opportunity and, you know, not only see the negatives in our parents, but see the positives in our parents, but see the ways that they've grown or the ways that we're allowing ourselves to grow as well. And you know, so many, it's crazy that negative experiences can turn into such a positive, but what you said about being conscious of not down talking or speaking negatively about the other parent or the step parent, or you know, just in the last 8 months or so, we've gotten to a point where Maddie, my daughter, has four parents. She has, mm-hmm. she has four parents, and we're all on the same page with that. And I'm okay with that. It took a little bit of you know, for my ex-wife, it took a long time. She was not okay with Maddie having another mom. She just wasn't cool with it. And for me, it took a lot of putting ego and pride aside to be like, well, look, she's over there half the time and he's her dad when she's over there. And if she's comfortable calling him dad or stepdad or whatever it is, if he's in that role, he's in that role. I can't take that away when he's over there. Just like when she's here, Lindsay's mom in this house, and that doesn't take away from her mom, but it's just it almost enhances the experience that now she's got four parents instead of having mom and dad and mom's significant other, dad's significant other, and It just makes things, I don't know, more enjoyable for her that she's got more. She feels like she's got a bonus.
Yeah. And that's good. And I think one of the keys to what you're talking about, Chris, is like talking about your ex-wife, is that you have to allow the other person this time of healing. Because anytime a relationship falls apart, whether that's a relationship or a marriage, it does affect the kids, but it also affects the husband and the wife, the partners that were involved. And taking that time to heal and giving them that time to heal and not labeling them, oh, they're this angry person or they're this depressed person, but being intentional about saying, no, they need this time of healing. I went through that with my second husband. We were married for 11 years, together for 13 years. And about 5 years after we divorced, he actually called me and he apologized to me for his contribution in the failure of the marriage. And it brought healing to my heart. And we are now good friends. We're actually good friends. People freak out. They're like, how can you be good friends with your ex? I'm like, well, we both healed our hearts. We both mm-hmm. allowed our hearts to heal. And so I think that's key to giving that other parent the space and not labeling or judging them. But even us as, you know, you as a co-parenting dad, having a stepchild, a physical child, and allowing yourself to be healed from whatever happened in that relationship, because I think that contributes to the health with your ex-spouse, that contributes to the health with your current spouse, and that contributes to the health of your kids, because they now see you healing, improving, being open and honest, and it sets them up as adults to be the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. So I kind of want to get into a little bit of the things that you went through, or, you know, the situations you faced in having two children, not the same dads. And it sounds like your second husband had a pretty decent relationship with your oldest, or how was he as a stepdad? Was he?
He was this, like I said before, children should be seen and not heard. Okay. Plus my oldest son had been diagnosed with ADHD. Hmm. So he was not an easy child to handle.
I know that one.
Yeah. And now looking back, seeing him and seeing how successful he is at his career, I think he was mislabeled. I think he was a leader, a born leader. And he, you know, born leaders bump up against mm-hmm. every wall. Any no you have, they will challenge you. And, you know, I call him my rototiller child because, boy, did I grow up with him. But with my second husband also being very strong-willed, that was not necessarily a good thing.
Okay. Yeah. I see that.
But I think with... the experiences I had, you know, then going through another divorce and having to juggle like two children, totally different personalities. One is a battering ram. The other one was just kind, gentle child. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, having the experience of my ex-husband actually treating them both equally. He did. And I give him credit for that. Was he a little kinder and gentler to his own physical child? Of course he was. But when it came to gifts, when it came to time spent, you know, things like that, attention, he wasn't like, oh, you're just my stepchild. And to the other one, oh, you are my real child. No, he was very equal there. And he literally was a dad to my oldest son when my oldest son's dad was not in the picture.
I actually like that you said it that way, because it's something that I struggle with. And I think sometimes it's hard to argue biology. And for me with my daughter, there's a stronger bond. Just biologically, there's something inherent in me that there is a strong bond there. And with my son, it's something that I have to work at. It's something that takes a lot more effort and intentionality. And I've seen myself fail many times, and I've seen myself start to succeed in areas. But I like that you said that, because it is, there's, it's not easy to step in and raise somebody else's kid. And, you know, you make the decision to do it. But just because you make the decision to do it, and just because you love that kid, and it doesn't always, it's not always a like natural, inherent, instinctual thing to parent that child. With my son, it takes a lot more effort. Sometimes it's almost more rewarding because I have to put more effort in. But yeah, I like that you said it that way. And it is, it's a big thing for, you know, for men. I don't think men get as much credit for stepping in and raising others. At the same time, I think a lot of times women that have guys that step in, or that even parent their child after they've divorced, take that for granted. I know so many people that, actually my wife babysits, and that couple's going through a divorce, and the dad's just not there, and came by the other day and literally texted the mom after and was like, I only came so that I could tell the court that I saw him. And so you're like, there's just such this broad spectrum of people and dads, and I like that you said that, though. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, Chris, I think just as you're talking, I'm thinking about the fact that you're really learning unconditional love, and you're learning to intentionally love a child that's not your own. Because like you said, for the majority of parents, it comes natural, right? You know, yeah. your physical child, it's like, yeah, that's my baby. And but I think you have to be so much more intentional, but you learn to grow in a type of love that you probably wouldn't grow in if you weren't a step parent. And I think that it could possibly even help step parents when they connect with that child to love others outside their family, like people they encounter that might not be people they gel with necessarily. So maybe it's even like a boot camp. It's a love boot camp. You learn to accept that child, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so maybe look at that even as a benefit of being able to carry out into other relationships.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's a good point. That's actually something I hadn't even thought about, is the effects that it has outside of, and which is weird that I haven't thought of it that way, because I'm always connecting dots of things that I'm doing now and things that I did years ago and what led me to where I am now. So that's a really good point. So then when your second husband, when that marriage ended, how was his relationship with both boys? Was it still, did he take them, you know, did they spend time with him, or was it just his son? Or
he on a pretty regular basis, he would take his son. Now at that point, my oldest son was almost 18.
Okay.
So the age difference between my two sons is 6 years. And a half, almost 7 years. So there was an age difference there. And he was still intentionally involved in my oldest son's life. And even to the point where he guided him towards the career he has, he actually helped him walk through the steps. My oldest son is in law enforcement, and my second husband was in law enforcement. So he walked him through the steps. He encouraged him. You know, he gave him tips. He still gives him tips. Now he bought him his first gun, you know, all that stuff.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
I think the parenting, I don't think so much he sees it as parenting, but it was more, I get to support this young man now. I get to mentor this young man. And I think that is really something that my oldest son still appreciates, having somebody to guide him. Because as a woman, you know, I can only guide you so much. Now, I'm a dreamer when it comes to my kids. I think my oldest son should have been a lawyer, because he can argue or a politician. You know? And to me, my youngest son should have been a pediatrician because kids love him. He's like the Pied Piper. Wherever he goes, kids follow him. But I think having my ex-husband with his stepson, you know, support him, promote him. I think he probably talks to both of my sons more than I do at this point. So I think maybe the struggle for him was raising children, but now that they're adults and it's almost a relationship, it's not this parenting thing. It's gotten a little easier.
Yeah. You know, it's actually funny the way that you said that. I think sometimes we overcomplicate parenting. And the way that you just said it is like mentoring. I have so much more patience with other people's kids. So I think we overcomplicate it. I just had that epiphany right now. A lot of times, and it's funny, I tell my son all the time with schoolwork, you're making it too difficult for yourself. It's not that hard. You're overthinking it. And maybe as parents, we do that. We overthink things rather than just being.
Well, it's easier with other kids because, first of all, we don't have these high expectations of ourselves. Like parents, we have high expectations of ourselves. We should perform this way. Our kids should be this way. They should be raised that way. Why can't they obey? So I think maybe possibly it has to do with the expectations we have. And those expectations can make parenting really hard, really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. That, and then, I mean, I talked last week on the podcast about comparison and how, like, I could look at, my wife is an amazing mother. I married, like, she was born to mother. If I've ever met anybody that, like, that was their gift, she is a mother. And so when I compare, I'm like, man, I shouldn't be a parent. She's got this figured out. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I could compare myself to other guys that have no clue. And I look like super dad. But other people could compare themselves to me and look like super dad. And it's like, be you, do what you do and realize that, yeah, none of us are perfect. We're all progressing. But I think that that's really cool that, you know, as even an adult, your oldest stepdad is still there as a, sounds like a father figure, whether they realize it or not. It's he's being a father. And, you know, I've seen the cliche, you know, it takes a man to be a dad. It takes a real man to be a father. And it's the truth. But yeah, it almost seems to me like, as an adult, you know, in adulthood, your oldest still has a father figure there, which is awesome.
Yeah. Adult children need father figures. It's really sad, but they do. Yeah. They do. It's like, I see a lot of parents even checking out once their kids are adults. Well, you're out of the house now, live your own life. And I know that looks different. That's a total different podcast, you know, adult children. But still knowing that you are still, you know, and even if maybe it doesn't look like fathering, it is that mentoring, supporting, encouraging, you know, because you have a different kind of maturity on the other side when your kids are older and you see things differently. And I don't think you take yourself so seriously anymore. Right. Like you said, the comparison, the expectations, really, they go way down.
Yeah. Yeah. Expectations are, you know, I learned that lesson as an adult. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day with my dad. You know, as an adult, he wasn't super, super around a lot. And we had some rocky times. And when my daughter was two, me and my ex had just bought a house. And this was right around the time me and my dad started kind of patch things up. And I just gave myself this mindset of, you know what? I'm not going to expect anything from him. If he shows up for birthday parties, cool. If he doesn't, I'm not disappointed because I'm not expecting him to. And there's so much power in our expectations, but then it became everything was a bonus when he was there instead of it being a disappointment when he wasn't.
Yeah, that's really, really good, Chris.
So we've been talking for about a half hour, which is great. So I want to hear probably some of like the biggest wins you think in your co-parenting journey, whether it be something that, you know, one of your husbands or, you know, whatever it is, one of your biggest wins in the co-parenting journey.
Oh, biggest wins for me personally. Not killing my second husband sometimes. No, I'm just joking.
Humor is good. It's okay.
The biggest win in co-parenting, I think that came later on, and sadly after the divorce, where I wasn't that that mama bear anymore, and I allowed my oldest son's stepdad and my youngest son's dad to actually parent, and I learned to release and let go a little bit. Another success, I'm by nature a peacekeeper, peacemaker, peacekeeper, and I think one of the successes for me was to keep the peace in the home, not okay. to take sides with one and create this conflict that was constantly palpable in the house. You know, I really tried to balance it out.
Yeah. And that's a huge accomplishment in itself. Cause I know in some rough times in our house, you know, sometimes I feel like there's a divide, that it's me and my daughter on this side and my wife and her son on this side. And it's a house divided, and they're, you know, they're just being real. There are times that I feel like that. And so it takes a lot of work to bring these essentially two families and making one family. And, you know, for my wife, it was just her and her son for 4 years before I was really in the picture. And so there's still an adjustment, and we've been together for 5 years, married for almost four. And so yeah, keeping the peace is a big win. That's a lot of work. So biggest lesson, what do you think the biggest lesson you learned through it all?
I should have had more communication conversations with my husband about child raising. Because I was literally the one who was raising both boys majority of the time, just because of the work schedules, but more conversations. I should have allowed him to parent more. I should have definitely prayed for my husband more, instead of being critical and pointing fingers, even if it was just in my heart, to support him. I think one of the biggest lessons I've taken out of that, and hopefully I'll get to apply it in marriage again, is to be my husband's biggest cheerleader, and not to be that nag, but to even when something needs to be addressed, to be honorable, to be kind, to be uplifting, and literally be a gold digger, dig that gold out of my husband. Whether, you know, for me, it's not going to be in parenting anymore. Thank you, God. but I think, if I had done that, not saying that the marriage would have turned out differently, but maybe the quality of our marriage would have been different if I had done those things. And lessons are so many, Chris. There's so many. I as a person, not losing my voice as a mom to keep peace in the house. Because it's the other side of keeping peace. You tend to lose your voice because you're trying to be Switzerland, always neutral, always in the middle. And so I think a lesson I would have loved to have learned is to find my voice and speak up. Again, going back to communication for sure.
Yeah, no, and that's actually, we can wrap up with that. That's such a good stopping point, because that's something that I talk about so much. And I'm not saying it's a good stopping point because it's something I talk about. I said that and I heard how that sounded. That's not what I meant. What I mean is that communication is such an important part of life. And that's one thing somebody, Richard has said, about this podcast. So go check out 100% Richard, everybody. But what he said is he listens even though he's not in this, because there's a lot of life lessons in this. And I think communication is such an important part of life. Whether you're a parent, a step parent, a grandparent, an ex-spouse or spouse, whatever it is, communication, life is not possible without communication. Mm-hmm. Like we just, if we go through life and don't communicate with each other, we never know where we stand with one another. We never know what the other person is thinking. We never know. We really can't grow because we don't get any sort of criticism. And not that, criticism is a good thing when it comes out of love. And so communication is just such a big, important lesson. And so I think that's a good place to end, because that's such a good lesson. So I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm really excited. You are, like I said, the first person that I've recorded with that was not my wife. I love sitting down and recording with my wife. It's been fun the two times we've done it. But my whole vision for this podcast has been to share other people's stories, to give other people a platform to share things that they've learned. And I have a sneaky suspicion that your lesson is going to be a common thread through almost every story that I'm able to share. Everybody that I'm able to have come on here and sit down with me, is that communication is just such a vital part of life. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me on. It's really been a privilege. I'm excited. And thank you for allowing me to give a perspective that's from an older person, somebody who's on the other side of parenting, not in the middle. And I think I love what you're doing with this podcast. And
thank you.
It's going to be amazing.
I appreciate it. So there's one more lesson. Last lesson for everybody. Don't ever not listen to somebody who's older than you, because they have gone through some things. I know that I've actually kind of spoken with Mike and Corky that I want to have them on here, because I think if we don't learn from our elders, then we're going to repeat a lot of mistakes. So I'm going to leave it right there. So for everybody, until next time, keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle and enjoy the ride.